body and spirit, and let's worship the Lord this morning.
Words can never say the way he says my name. He calls me lovely. No one ever sees the way he looks at me. He sees me holy. Earth can never hold this love that burns my soul. Heaven holds me. Oh, heaven holds me.
I see the world in wonder. I see the world in You're the wonder in the world.
I
see the world your way, and I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the love.
Sing that again. I see the world your way.
I see the world your way, I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the love.
Let's sing that out. I see the world.
I see the world your way, I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way. Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light.
Amen. Amen.
I feel it in my bones, you're about to move. In the wind, you're about to ride in. You said that you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters. So come. I feel it in my bones.
Feel it in my bones, you're about to move. I feel it in the wind, you're about to ride in. You said that you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters.
So like the rain, come drench us in love, and let your glory rush in like a flood.
Our God is true. There's a Yes, indeed, we breathe to worship you, Lord. We are made for God's glory, right? Amen? Yes. You know, when listening to this beautiful, inspirational song by Courtney, who sung that, I mean, he just sung it, right? Yes. As those opening lyrics in the song, they say, there's a river flowing from the mountain. It shows our God is true. There's a song rising from the valley, and it's our response to you. And you know, that river that's flowing from the mountains, it reminds me of a powerful statement that was made, and it came from the Lord, and it was delivered by the prophet Amos. And it was to the house of Israel, and it says, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an everlasting flowing stream. Ever-flowing stream. A stream is constant, a stream that it has no end, a stream that knows exactly what it's doing and it never reverses itself, a stream that has never and no end. And we are so gracious for that. These are restorative streaming waters that we now have been know, and they've been named justice and have been named righteousness. And is that a stream we all want in our lives? Yes. And that leads us to today's message, do not lose heart. And there's a scripture passage that opens our door for understanding around this, and it comes from Luke 18, 1 through 8. And it presents us with yet another parable, and we're in this sermon series now about short stories by Jesus. And I'm going to invite Beth Mueller to come forward, and she is one of our fantastic co-leaders of this of the prayer team, as well as mixology theology. Amen. And so you've come forward, and thank you for doing today's reading. Again, it's Luke 18, 1 through 8. Is it on? There you go.
She will not beat me down by her continual coming.
Thank you, Beth. And may God, who is above us and below us and beside us and in the very air that we breathe, bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Amen. So I'm going to tell you a little personal story that on September the 15th, I made a big decision. I said goodbye to DirecTV. I said goodbye. Yeah, and I decided I was going to go with a streaming service that's called Vue, V-U-E. And so DirecTV was bought out by this behemoth conglomerate known as AT&T. And initially, when I was on the call, they were going to triple the price of what I had been paying. And even after negotiating, the price was still more than doubled. Well, I chose to say goodbye to DirecTV. And I needed something that comparable to what I was actually paying, right? So hence, Vue. Well, before concluding the call, the representative said, "Sir, since you've been a great customer, we have an internet promotion, and we can double the speed, and it's a great price." And so I listened to it, and I thought, you know, that's a great deal, and that fits within my budget. Sure, let's go ahead. And the conversation then ended, or so I thought. So on Monday, October the 7th, I not only received a billing statement from AT&T for a full month's service of DirecTV, a full month that was beyond the date of cancellation, the company had also doubled the price of my internet service. That's not what we agreed upon. Now, you can imagine that got my blood boiling. Well, I decided, you know, I'm not going to take this on the chin. No, Pastor Mark, Pastor Mark, really? Yeah, it's like Pastor. So I called AT&T because we need to deal with this promptly. And surely a simple phone call, you know, I state the facts, we'll get this all cleared up. Yeah, no. So at 6:10 p.m. on that Monday evening began a ridiculous journey in dealing with a company that bluntly I don't believe fears God or actually respects man. So for the next hour, 3 minutes and 18 seconds, not that I was counting or anything, I was on the phone with not one, not two, but three different representatives from AT&T. So between the first and second representatives, who were not too helpful, by the way, I was placed on hold for 25 minutes. Now, this is what I call the, let's wear that collar, collar down. That way, they'll just go on and give up. They'll go away. They'll think it's not worth their time to be able to stick in here and fight the system. Well, upon minute 51, I was finally heard by the third representative, and I was finally given the economic justice that I had been seeking. Persistence paid off because I was not going to take no for an answer. If only persistence against what is unjust in this world, which is so much larger and demoralizing and so overwhelming, and we'd like the whelming to be over, am I right? Would provide us now with the justice we seek. When societal justice is so molasses slow, it's just molasses slow, and where many consider the jar of justice super glue closed. Especially when we are told this, that God's going to give justice to his elect speedily. And there's a caveat. I got to tell you, there's a caveat into that, and we're going to get to it shortly. But if we look into the bottom line reason as to why did Jesus tell this parable, it's right there. It's right there in verse 1. He says it clearly, to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. That's very important for the overall tie-in here. So I want to head into the parable itself. When we heard Beth speak about this judge in the parable, did any thoughts come to mind about the judge? Well, I got to tell you for myself, I think the judge sounded awfully familiar given the current state of affairs here in this country. And when reflecting back to Melinda and Carmel, when they well moderated the most recent We Need to Talk discussion, panel discussion on the criminal justice system, it seems that this story from the Gospel according to Luke, that the poor and oppressed, well, they haven't gotten justice for a very, very long time, and I'd say that's too long, way too long. Well, if it weren't for the persistence of the widow, justice would not have come about. Only by her belief and action, I'm emphasizing that, by her belief and action did justice occur. And I'd say that's revolutionary justice, arising from the streets. Give me justice. Give us justice. We see this woman, who's among the most exploited, the most vulnerable, the most oppressed. What do we see? Three things, my friends. Three things. Commitment, relentlessness, and strong faith. Commitment, relentlessness, and strong faith. Here's a woman. You know, I was thinking about it. I think she may have even inspired the abolitionist social reformer Frederick Douglass when he said, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. Preach, Frederick, preach. Here's a woman who has the best form of prayer when demanding justice. Now, you might be sitting there wondering, going, well, I don't remember hearing anything about a prayer. Well, let me tell you, though, we're being taught something about prayer. Oftentimes, folks think that prayer has got to be very, you know, boxed in, very sweet. It's just contained and just so. It's very passive. But when Jesus taught us his prayer and he included these words, your kingdom come, and I'm going to add God's rule of love and justice. When your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's when he informed the disciples and as a community, and that leads to us, that also is us, that, you know, it's all upon God, God alone, to make things happen on this earth. Mm-mm. That hope and transformation and justice is only a God thing and not part of our responsibilities that have been placed upon us. That it's perfectly okay for us just to all be backseat Christians. No. Jesus' prayer was a prayer of action. A prayer of action. And if we look at that widow and we add prayer into the mix and how to pray and why to pray, that's when things are shaking and baking with Jesus. Just saying. Now, I want you to think about it. Did we hear in that reading about a woman that was praying at church? Did we see her praying at her bedside or before a meal? Did we see that she was wearing a prayer shawl or that she was holding prayer beads? No. Mm-mm. But what we do see and hear is someone who is actively praying by ceaselessly marching into that judge's chambers and demanding that justice be given. She is not going to take no for an answer. That widow is on a mission and she's demonstrating commitment. She's so relentless and committed for justice that that compassionless judge in the parable is worried he's going to end up with a black eye, which would be bad for his image and reputation. I mean, especially when folks find out it was a lowly widow that kicked his behind. Sadly, here's a person who should know better. Yet he chooses to live and stay beholden to an unrighteous system. And after all this, let me ask, do we see him repenting? Do we see him at the end of the story that he's repenting for this poor judgment that he's made against the poor and oppressed? No. Do we see him to decide to turn around his life and no longer demean and defraud those considered less than? Mm-mm. Those whose voices are often silenced? When I speak of a system that needs to be transformed for the better and for once vibrant voices being silenced into the night, who will no longer be able to positively impact the lives of others, I think of incidents like this recent fatal shooting of an African-American woman, Atiana Jefferson, age 28, by a white police officer. It made my heart weep to know that here's a woman, 28. She wanted to be a doctor. She was making sacrifices. And here she is, and she's watching over her 8-year-old nephew. And for it, the way this went down, the way it went, as interim police chief from Fort Worth, his name is Ed Krause, he said there was absolutely no excuse. No excuse for the shooting. The unjust circumstances, they're just beyond tragic. They're beyond tragic. And you know, my heart wept. And yet while my heart wept, the hearts of Atiana's family and her loved ones, the hearts of others, especially those who were marginalized, were broken. Those hearts were broken. When I was reflecting about this terrible situation, or, you know, I don't know, maybe you heard, I heard this news that four homeless men were killed for merely living in the streets there in New York City's Chinatown. This happened just a couple of weeks ago. Or when we hear about the millions of low-income tenants around the country who face wrongful eviction, or they're dealing with these poor housing conditions, to the egregious disparities in the justice system that have been well documented, and people of color and youth and individuals who are dealing with mental illness are disproportionately affected. And then you just go ahead and dogpile. You just dogpile concerns and issues, things like police brutality and sexual harassment, and you got immigration, drinking water, gun violence. You have these things like health care for the elderly or low wages for workers and families, the hurts exhibited toward the LGBTQIA+ community. I got to take a deep breath. Oh, Lord, that's enough. Just enough. And it's just like this daily onslaught. It's a daily onslaught, and it feels like that. And it's an incursion in which those on the margins and not privileged are faced with unjust, inhumane, and honestly, it's ungodly laws. And what they're facing reminds me of Jesus. What they're facing reminds me of Jesus, where and when he too experienced injustice. Injustice at the hands of a government, and this was the Roman Empire, that neither feared God nor regarded humanity. Nevertheless, it's interesting, did he not meet those unjust systems and political religious structures with what might be considered or would be considered weakness? Did Jesus not give that power a black eye with a persistent demand? Did he not persistently demand for justice for the poor and the oppressed? Did not Christ stand up to the powers of the world and expose that darkness with his light? And even after he was crucified, and when it looked like darkness had overcome Christ's light, and there was this feeling that there was no hope for justice, what happened then? The promise of Easter, Jesus' resurrection. And what did that resurrection tell us? That no matter how bad it gets, even though we are witnessing that which is wrong, oh so wrong, that ultimately justice will not be defeated. Justice will not be defeated. Now, how do we play our part in justice making? How do we play our part? Well, we're told to pray without ceasing and to not lose heart. Yeah, it's not so easy. By ourselves. That's not so easy by ourselves. Let me tell you that it's best to pray and stay engaged together. together, collectively, thereby connecting with one another and with God, building in relationships while setting down our weapons of choice, being in the moment and allowing ourselves to be transformed and molded by God for eternity's holy purpose. Not for our own agenda, not for our own purpose. Because when we allow ourselves to be transformed and molded by God, that's when we piece our broken humanity back together, which is the opposite of what the adversary wants. What does the adversary want? Because the adversary neither fears God nor regards humanity, right? What does the adversary want? The end game? For us to give up, to discourage us, to come to the point where we're just saying, and we tell others and ourselves, you know, there's just nothing we can do. There's just nothing we can do. It's not going to ever change anything. Mm-mm. Just go on and give up praying. And then we just isolate ourselves, and we choose not to connect. And then we start to lose hope, and we feel like that ever-flowing stream of justice and righteousness has dried up. That, my friends, is the modus operandi of the adversary. When speaking of justice-making, I think of Loretta Martinez, I think of Beth Mueller, and I think of Kim Hillman. Tenacious women who are relentless, committed, and strong in faith, deeply involved in the spiritual practice of prayer and lifting up prayers of hope, love, justice, and mercy and grace on our behalf and for others. Because you know what they're doing is they're connecting with us and one another and with God, the Holy One. And that's why it's important, my friends, that we share whatever is on our hearts, those joys and concerns, and we put them up on that prayer wall over there, to not be afraid of crying out to the Lord. For pray, these fearless women, they do that. They do that day and night, just like others. There are others in this faith community that do the same. Praise God. When speaking of justice making, I think of worship leader Melinda Hale and Reverend Dave Bungie, two of our Harmony leaders who just began courageous conversation meetings twice a month on Monday evenings in Fellowship Hall, focusing on issues of justice and looking through the lens of how Jesus would handle or react to those issues, which then motivates us into action. We do not leave that meeting without having an action and to not lose heart. To have each of you in that room participating in courageous and respectful conversations, that would be amazing. I'm extending that invitation to you right now. So mark your calendars for Monday, October 28th, 7:30 p.m., Fellowship Hall, and invite a friend. One final statement to share before I close this morning's message, along with a call to action for all of us. My friends, the hope we have in God is not the same as the hope we have in society. The hope we have in God is not the same as the one we have in society. Society, it may not change as quickly as we want. However, I'm making this clear. Our hope in God gives us something amazing, knowing the Holy One is with us through it all. For the eternal Father Mother hears us when we first cry. For the divine Creator's love for us gives us strength to persist. And God's justice will transform our lives and the hearts and minds of everyone in the whole world. And our call to action before we sing this morning's final worship song is this. First is a question. How do you work for justice in your own life? How do you work for justice in your own life? And the second is this. I would love for you to consider a practical action that you will take this week that contributes to justice. One practical action that contributes to justice, whether it's in your personal life or in society. Let us constantly pray and not lose heart, acknowledging that we are actively participating in something that is greater than ourselves. It's greater than us, people. Because, my friends, when we are doing this, we are partaking in the coming reign of justice and peace that are coming. For indeed, the unfailing providence of God will prevail. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us why it's so important to constantly pray, giving our concerns and the burdens, they just give them over to you. And we recognize prayer takes on many forms, as we saw through the widow when she was dealing with that unrighteous judge. Help us to face courageously and call out what is unjust in this world. And together, through our act of commitment, relentlessness, and strong faith, and that strength that you give us to persist, may your rule of love and justice be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we be molded and transformed for your true purpose, your purpose of divine love alone, this day and always. Amen.
Why don't you stand and pass the peace of Christ with your neighbor before we sing this last song together?
You conquer.